Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. Pitt plays North Carolina tomorrow, going for a sweep of the Tar Heels. And you know what? That sounds strange, but it actually is true. They are going for a sweep. Joining us now is Craig Meyer of the Post-Gazette, who covers Pitt. Craig, you know, it's interesting. They just beat North Carolina down there at North Carolina, but would it surprise you if they lost tomorrow?
I feel like I've gotten to the point with this team where really nothing would surprise me. I think that the label I've kind of defaulted to with them is they're predictably unpredictable. But I do think that this being at home, I think it's definitely more of a favorable matchup. I'm assuming that they won't have Cole Anthony. He had an Instagram post earlier in the week saying that he can't wait to get back to playing with his guys. And we're in a spot right now where we fall into that 4 to 6 week timeline that was first put it out there after it had the procedure done. Nothing would surprise me with this group. I mean, I think it's kind of how the team was at this point last season too. Where they beat Louisville and Florida State in a 5-day span, and they go on to lose, I think it was 13 straight. So I think that this team's better. So I think I maybe have a little bit more of an idea with them on a game in, game out basis, but this is a team that also lost at home to a Wake Forest team who probably is about even, with what has been a very injury bitten Carolina team. So, I mean, yeah, they could, they're favored, I saw, by 4.5 tomorrow, but yeah, really nothing would surprise me with them. It's just kind of where we are with this group.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is if they play their game and they play what, do what they're supposed to do and play, within themselves, they should win the game if you think about where North Carolina is right now and sort of where they're deficient.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing with them right now, too, is including Cole Anthony, I mean, who's a projected top 5 pick in the NBA draft. I mean, they could be without as many as 4 of their 6 leading scorers tomorrow. Jeremiah Francis has been dealing with some injuries. Brandon Robinson, one of their better guards, got into a car wreck earlier this week. So, I mean, they're in a spot where they're just – where the version of Carolina that Pitt will see tomorrow may be even weaker than the one they saw 10 days ago, and that was in Chapel Hill, too, in front of 21,000 fans, in a game that Pitt faced a pretty good deal of adversity and trailing, by almost double digits. So I think that – I would think that tomorrow's matchup probably should be a little bit easier. I also think that's probably one game that, and we even saw it a little bit with the Louisville game earlier in the week where if students are on campus, it's a pretty big-time opponent where you'll get students out there. I mean, like the Oakland Zoo was full for the Louisville game, and I think even in a weakened state, I think Carolina is a team that'll bring people out. So I would assume it'd probably be a pretty good home court atmosphere tomorrow, which I think will obviously help Pitt probably all the more.
No, absolutely. It's been interesting. There have been, I would say, some what I would call disappointing crowds, given that this team has sort of turned it around. I really think that, the crowds in some of these games have been a little disappointing, but I would expect tomorrow, a Saturday afternoon game against North Carolina, we should have a really good crowd there, right?
Yeah, I would probably assume so, you know, especially this year, too. Cause, I mean, as far as opponents go, you know, like, I think going into the year, it's probably this game, the Louisville game, the West Virginia game, and the Virginia game were the probably the four that I really looked at as being pretty marquee home matchups. You know, and even though, Virginia's kind of in a weakened state right now, having lost all those guests from their title team and Carolina, we've talked about some of their shortcomings here so far. I mean, that name on the front of that jersey, like that still draws a whole bunch of people. You know, and I think there are actually a pretty decent amount of Carolina fans in the Pittsburgh area. You know, at least I saw quite a few there the past couple seasons. So, I would expect it to be a pretty big crowd, but I've been generally pretty terrible at predicting crowds this season. You know, for the Canisius game, they played that at noon on a Monday. You know, granted, it was the day before New Year's Eve, and I figured there'd be maybe 6,000 people there, and it ended up being about almost 9 or 10. I would expect it to be, this, even Carolina, with as bad as they've been so far, you know, 8-8 through 16 games, that's still a name that really resonates, you know, and especially for people who maybe don't keep up with college basketball quite as much as guys like you and I typically do. You know, that's still a name. I mean, that's just a marquee program.
Yeah, it is. You know, if you look at North Carolina, here's the thing I would ask you, Craig. I know that they're missing, you know, Cole Anthony and what was the other kid? There was another kid that got hurt, but if you look at their program, they still have a bunch of four-star and a couple, you know, parade All-American or All-American types or whatever. I mean, they shouldn't be this bad, should they?
No. You know, and I think that maybe points to some maybe larger failings, whether those were oversights in the recruiting process where some of these guys maybe weren't as good as they were projected to be, or maybe Roy Williams isn't utilizing them in the way that he could be, where it was maybe just put, you know, where it was put together in such a way where he figured all these guys could be good together given who else he had, you know, and man, maybe thinking that a big man, you know, or a wing or one of their guards would function really well in an offense run by Cole Anthony. But without Cole Anthony, they're just not nearly as good. And I mean, even before he got hurt, I mean, you had watched some of their games, and really outside of Anthony, I mean, they wouldn't really be that impressive. You know, they were still, I don't want to say that they were kind of a one-man team, but a disproportionate amount of their offense and what they did well ran through him. So with him being out, I mean, that just took took all of that away. When Pitt played down there, I want to say I think everybody in Carolina's starting lineup that game was a four- or a five-star recruit coming out of high school. So I think as much as you maybe could try to discount a win like that and say, oh, you know, they were playing a terrible team, they should have, should have won that game. I still think given the historical value of it, the fact that that was their first win ever down there, you know, and still being a really talented team. I mean, I guess Pitt in that game, I guess probably they had maybe 2 4-star guys play. You know, they obviously don't have any 5-star guys on their team. So, yeah, I mean, this is still a really talented group, which, again, I think can probably make tomorrow's game even that much more unpredictable. But, yeah, I do feel like I'm at the point where I would be more surprised than not if Pitt lost.
You would be more surprised than not if they lost.
Yes, yeah. I just don't think, you know, I just think, you know, and this is assuming that Cole Anthony doesn't play and that Roy Williams just has some up his sleeve. I think that team where they are right now, I mean, losing at home to a Clemson team that's really not that great, although they just beat Duke too. So with the ACC this year, I mean, it's really a pretty unpredictable conference. But yeah, I think with whatever confidence you get from having beaten them 10 days ago and now getting the chance to do that at home, I think this is a team that, you know, again, I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I would probably pick Pitt to win if I had to make some kind of pick.
You look at the ACC at large, Craig, and, you know, it's really kind of a strange league right now from the standpoint of it is, you know, I don't know who's the really good teams in this league and who, you know, it looks like Duke and Florida State and Louisville might be the three top teams, but I don't know that there's that much separation between them and, say, the middle teams in this conference, is there?
Yeah, I really don't think so. I mean, Duke, from what I've seen so far, I would say that they're pretty clearly the top team. You know, even though they are coming off that Clemson loss, and even Stephen F. Austin beat them at Cameron earlier this season. Yeah, I mean, I think Duke, Louisville, and Florida State are kind of, you know, have kind of, based on what we've seen so far, have kind of separated themselves a little bit. But even in that, you know, in that situation, if you say Duke's the top team, Florida State's the second best team, and Louisville's the third, I mean, Pitt's already beaten the second best team then at home. You know, they go down to Tallahassee next month in a game that I don't think they, you know, that I'd be surprised if they won that one. And the number three team in that set, they're Louisville. I mean, you know, some would argue that they probably, that they probably should have beaten them. Were it not for a pretty terrible over the bat call on Tuesday. At the very least, that game was going into a second overtime. So, I mean, and beyond them, Virginia Tech, has definitely exceeded the expectations people had for them going into the season. Virginia's been disappointing. NC State's been pretty good. Syracuse is 10-7, which I'd say that's probably their worst record through 17 games for years. Clemson hasn't been that great. And then Boston College, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, and Carolina and Wake Forest have all either been bad or, I guess, in Carolina's case, just immensely disappointing. I mean, this is a year that even as Pitt hasn't been all that great, I mean, there's a lot of unpredictability with this league, and, I mean, there's a lot of room for them to potentially, to potentially advance. I thought going into the year, if they finished in the top 10, that would be good. At this point, I mean, you know, at this point, I don't think I could put a top six or seven fish out there and totally dismiss it. Do I think that'll happen? I'm not entirely sure, but there are too many teams outside of those top three and maybe a couple others that I would, with a good deal of confidence, put in front of Pitt right now. I don't know if that's necessarily because I think Pitt's all that great. It's just because I don't have that much confidence or belief in what else that this league has this season.
Yeah, I just look, like I said, at this league. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, I thought it was going to be one way. I honestly, if you ask me right now who are, you know, like I said, I think Florida State, Duke, and Louisville are probably the three top teams. If you ask me in the next five or six, I don't know that I could give them to you.
Yeah, I would probably have a tough time with it too. Like, I think Virginia Tech and NC State are both good. Aside from that, yeah, it's a bit of a crapshoot. I would even probably throw Virginia in there, maybe just thinking that it's a team that's had to get adjusted to losing a lot of really key pieces for them, and that, you know, and that Tony Bennett's such a good coach that as the games go on, they'll figure something out. They're certainly not going to be a top two or three seed like they have been for the previous few years. But I could see a situation where they maybe tinker with some things and figure some things out and get into the tournament, maybe even with like a 10 or 11 seed. But yeah, I mean, outside of those top three, yeah, it's pretty, it's pretty barren. I've seen bracket projections where they only have five ACC teams getting in, where this is a league over the past few years that's been accustomed to getting 9 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, again, you mentioned NC State. Some days I think they're good, and some days I've watched them and thought, boy, this is not a very good team. I mean, Clemson just beat North Carolina and Duke back-to-back. I don't know what to expect from them night to night. Syracuse was awful for a while, and now they've started to win some games. Virginia Tech had some big wins, and now they've, you know, I just don't, I don't know what to expect day-to-day from this game. Like you said, beyond those top three, it's hard to figure out who's really good.
Yeah. And even when I think I've got a pretty good, good idea of who isn't good, you know, you get a game like Clemson and Duke, where, you know, I guess if it's a, you know, if it's a, you know, kind of solace for Clemson fans this week, you know, they lose the title game in football, but they beat Carolina on the road for the first time ever, and then they beat Duke. So they're, you know, I guess they're a basketball school now, but. I still think that there's a group of teams near the bottom, where you've got Clemson, BC, Georgia Tech, but even those teams, you know, who I, you know, and Wake Forest too, who even, you know, even some of those teams where I'm pretty confident that, yeah, I think they'll finish near the bottom of the league. I mean, Clemson's already 3-3 in conference, same for BC, Georgia Tech's 3-4. It's just really weird. Where I think that you have these teams where you think that they'll finish probably in the bottom five of the conference, but even if 5 through 10 aren't that great, they're still capable of beating them, really on any given night, especially if those weaker teams are playing at home. I think this year, I think it's a down year. I think it's maybe a little bit, you know, where it's been a little bit of an aberration where you just had a whole slew of factors that have kind of contributed to it, where this freshman class hasn't been considered as good as some recent ones. So that maybe hurts the program like Duke a little bit, one like Carolina. Carolina's dealt with a whole bunch of injuries. Virginia lost a ton of guys. So I think that you're in a spot now where probably your three top programs over the past five years have been weakened in some kind of way, two of them significantly. So I do think that, you know, this year we always hear about how the ACC is the best conference in the country. I think generally that's probably true. But this year, I mean, I think the Big Ten's much better. I think the Big East is probably a good deal better. The Big 12, I'd say right now probably it's the best, the fourth conference in the country.
Craig, great stuff as always, and probably see you over there tomorrow. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
No, Paul. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right, it's Craig Meyer of the Post Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.